Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Church. At the beginning of each service, we like to recognize any first-time visitors that we have with us. Is anyone here for the first time? Okay. I remind you to fill out the registration booklets, the blue booklets in the pews, and pass those to those next to you. Are there any announcements before we get started this morning? Does anyone have an announcement?
Hey, Jamie. We are about to begin working on our Christmas music for the Christmas season, and we would love to have you join us. We'll start working on Christmas music probably this afternoon, listening and just kind of singing through the cantata that we've gotten. It's beautiful. It's simple. It incorporates some things we already know along with things that are new. And I would love it personally if each of you would come. If we could just have everybody in the church up here singing, that'd be great. Thanks. 5:30 is when we practice.
Brenda or Deborah? Any other announcements?
Wednesday night. Wednesday night is church night traditionally in many communities. This Wednesday night is a fifth Wednesday night, and for a couple of years we've been having a Wednesday night, fifth Wednesday night special prayer service. We have that scheduled for this Wednesday night. Now our Wednesday night services for adults has been sparsely attended, and that's okay. But we want you to know about this opportunity this Wednesday night to come together for prayer and for testimony. And Ms. Lux, Julie's mother-in-law, is going to give us a testimony. of her experience. And I've described her as a bubbling over Jewish lady who became a Christian and then let her husband to be a Christian, her son became a Christian, and she has a beautiful testimony about God working in her family, in her life, and so that'll be about 20 or 25 minutes, and then we will, you can share concerns, testimonies, prayer concerns, praise, and difficulties, and then we will spend some time in prayer. 7 o'clock this Wednesday night. Now, supper is at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night, and if you want to eat, please sign up, because we're usually having 30 to 40, and we could probably feed 300 if you'd sign up. So you can bring all your friends, but please let us know where we'll have enough hamburgers. I think it's hamburgers and french fries this week. Also, that's for Wednesday night. The fifth Wednesday night, which is the 29th, there's awful-looking signs all over the entranceways, the doors. That's the best writing I can do with a magic marker. So just say, that's the best he can do. And
just the magic marker?
The magic marker. The magic marker didn't even change my writing.
Okay. So if it was a pencil or a pen, it wouldn't be any different?
No, it wouldn't be any different. It would probably be worse. Okay. The other thing is that Steve Alamore wanted me to mention next Sunday, lunch after church, second service, after this service, bring your vegetables, your salads, your desserts. The church will provide drink, bread, and meat. Is that right? Drink, bread, and meat. And the people bring other stuff to support that. That's next Sunday after church. And I think that's in the bulletin, but he just wanted me to mention that.
I have one announcement. The young adults will meet their weekly Bible study. I guess it's not really a Sunday school class. It's more of a Tuesday school class at 7 o'clock in the gym. We've been meeting at homes, but it will be at the church this coming Tuesday. And I've been really excited about how well that has done. It's really had a big turnout. And if you feel that you're a young adult, and if you feel like you want to come, You're welcome to come. Or if you know of a young adult that might be interested, please pass that on. Any other announcements? Okay, young adult. I feel pretty young about halfway through the day, but in the mornings, I don't feel so young. 2 weeks from today, I'll be going to Pensacola, Florida, to help out with hurricane relief. You can help. Number one way you can help is you can go with us. It won't be a day at the beach, so to speak, but they really need help there. There's 25 of us going on this trip from 5 different states. Tracy Spicer's going, and Richard Woodruff is considering going. But we'll be leaving here 2 weeks from today and be gone for that week. If you'd like to donate some money, or your Sunday school class would like to give some money, we've got some donations already this morning for mission work and for hurricane relief. You can do that. Just give it to the church treasurer, make it out to the church, and then the church will disperse the funds. Somebody else asked me about what they actually need down there, and right now it's just plywood and plastic covering and tarps, and they're just trying to keep people's houses from getting any worse damage than there already is. But we're working through the Southern Baptist Relief Organization on this trip, and they're buying all the materials. So if we take any materials down there, they're going to reimburse us for whatever we spend. But I don't see much sense in hauling stuff down there. But if you know anybody that might have a big roll of heavy plastic sheeting that they'd like to donate, we can probably get that down there. Or some tarps. But as far as supplies, they're not rebuilding anything yet. They're just trying to get stuff covered up at this point. So you can help in those ways if you'd like. And this relief effort may probably go on for a year or more. I'm already contemplating going down there on another trip, but there's no plans made for that trip yet. So any way you'd like to help, just see me or just give the money to the treasurer or turn it in the offering plate, whatever.
and just mark it for hurricane relief, and we'll see that it gets to that place to help. Thank you.
Any other announcements?
You may want to say Jeannie Oregon. You'll remember the phone book blue from 30 years ago, I guess. There's one available. We don't have space for it here, but could offer to us a Jeannie Oregon. I think they used to have their own beat in the background or something. It's 4 feet wide and, no, 6 feet wide and 4 feet high, I think, or something like that. But let us know. Somebody wants to get rid of one.
A Jeannie Oregon. Let's see. Any other announcements? Let's open the service with a silent prayer.
Let's just look at the prayer concern.
Oh, we must do that first, yeah. Any prayer concerns? Well, we were fixing to pray.
Well, no, but we need to name them.
Okay. Are there any prayer concerns? Yes. Need to pray for that. Any others?
Okay. I said John Wagner has been feeling as good as he wants to. Also, the letters, they have working on the Russian family to come, and the papers, all the papers are in the right people's hands in Dallas or in Texas, so they've asked us a special prayer there. Tom Turco, Dave's father, passed away. The funeral is tomorrow up in Warren, Michigan. I think the Sunshine Committee has done or is doing their things that they need to. Maybe Teresa Francis has details. The man's name was Tom Turco, and he was 91, and he passed away. And Dave's having a little trouble. He was here. He wasn't home when his daddy died, and we all that moved away from home deal with that. But this up Dave in it. Miss Shaver, Carol talks to Miss Shaver every Sunday morning. She didn't sound good this morning, Carol reports. So pray for Miss Shaver. Also, Joyce Thomas is in Southern Hills in CCU, about as sick as I've ever seen Joyce. I think I've seen her close to this. She's having some kind of seizures now, though, occasionally. And so this up Charlie, the children, and Joyce, and those who are working with her.
Thanks.
Justice is somebody in the family. The name is, I'm sorry,
Bert Starnes.
Bert Starnes passed away as Lewis's uncle by marriage, and they got a call and went to the funeral. I think the funeral was yesterday. So lift up that family, Christopher Starnes' entire family. Right.
Yeah, I'm not
doing this.
Room talk.
This room talk came home last Sunday night. Does anybody else have an update on this room talk? She went to the doctor one day this week. It was pneumonia. We think they got that. Is that right, Carol?
Yeah.
Carol Hoffman.
And she was going back to the doctor that day. But she...
She's fine. As far as we know. Okay.
And Jamie? My uncle, Jane's uncle, B.A. Hildreth, is in the hospital. He's an infection in his cyst on his liver, or an abscess on his liver, and so he's in pretty bad shape.
That being a Hilton?
Yes.
Any other person?
Sandra Teal on the top of third column there. She passed away this week. She's been on my prayer list for a year. So the family of Sandra Teal, her husband. Three daughters, one grown daughter, two little.
Any other prayer requests?
Sorry to drag it out, but that was those are the mission to me.
Very important. Seeing that there are no more, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worship.
It's now printed in your bulletin.
Give thanks to God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. But who is this Christ? Take heed of God's goodness. But all consider God's steadfast love. Praise the Lord, give praise, O servants of the Lord.
Let us worship God.
Let's all stand, turning our hymns to hymn 357. Jesus loves even me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forgive Him and wonder away, still He does love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms will I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
From the looks on some of your faces, I don't know if you really believe that Jesus loves you or not. And I'm here to tell you today that He does. So, since you already know that now, smile on this last verse, okay?
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when His beauty I see the great thing, it shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Would you bow for prayer?
Lord God, I come this morning to thank You for loving me, and not only me, but for all of these who are gathered here. Lord, we know that You are love. The Word says, Your Word, the Holy Word, the truth, that God is love. And we know, O God, that You sent Your Son Jesus from heaven. In effect, coming Yourself, wrapped in muscle, bone, skin, flowing with blood, come as a human to reveal that love, to give Your life that we might have life eternal. Lord, we just come to thank You and to say, praise be unto You. We come, O Lord, to sing of that love. And we come, O Lord, to learn better how to shape our lives that we might exemplify it to those that we meet each day. Let us show it in our faces. Let us reveal it in our words. And Father, we come to offer ourselves in this time of worship in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and we'll sing number 13. And I thought we would sing it twice, but Sam and Melanie figured out a different way to sing it. So follow their instructions.
All right, we will sing the chorus twice, but we'll put the verse in between. And I think most everybody will get familiar with this as it goes on. It's pretty familiar. Play just a little bit better.
now we recite the Apostles' Creed, which is found printed on page 716 of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, you need the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Very, very nice song. Because He Lives. Let's sing the first and last.
Thank you.
The offertory sentence today comes from Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 through 5. I've gotten all mixed up today. Please forgive me. It's children's time with Miss Andrea. / offertory sentence.
Tobin?
Heart and be ready to share it with each and every person that we come in contact with.
in Psalm 34, verse 1, this is one of my favorites. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't say sometimes when I feel like it, tomorrow, next week. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if we can focus as much as Buster focuses on keeping squirrels out of the yard, on keeping our praise for our Lord in our heart and on our lips to spread it to other people, just how many people did we catch for the Lord? Do you know? Bunches. I bet we could, don't you? Hundreds and hundreds. So, let's take a little Buster focus with us this week and go out there and see how many people we can bring to the Lord. Is that it?
Now the offertory service. At least I didn't skip straight to the closing hymn.
Amen.
All right. As I mentioned, it's from Exodus 35, verses 4 through 5. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. Would the ushers please come forward?"
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we come thanking you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we thank you for your love. We thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for just going on and on loving us even when we're not lovable. We thank you for all of these hymns that were sung this morning about love. And we thank you for this church family and the love that you've just poured out on everyone here. We can never repay you, dear Lord, for these indescribable gifts that you've given to us. But please let us express our appreciation and our love to you for the giving of these tithes and these offerings. May they bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Scripture lessons today. The first one comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you are a great chasm. A great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." No, Father Abraham, he said, "But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And the second scripture lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made good, when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this commandment without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God the Blessed, and our only ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To Him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
The general message, or the general thought, or theme of this lesson is wealth and how to handle wealth. If we read this, and if we know from experience, wealth may not be all that it's been put up to be, or all that we think it is, or it is all that has been made out to be. Today's scripture from Luke is just one example of wealth becoming a curse as much as it is a blessing, or becoming a curse when at first it was thought of as being a blessing. How many of you feel that you are wealthy this morning? And wealthy even in material things? And in material things, if we compare ourselves to 95% of the rest of the people of this earth, we are extremely wealthy. We may drive down the street and see bigger houses, and there may be in our neighborhoods people more wealthy than we are or appear to be. But compared to the rest of the world, we are a very wealthy people. People in Haiti. Sam went to Haiti on a trip with the mission group earlier in the year. This year, wasn't it? The poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And now, more devastation, much poorer. If we thought we were poor, we just don't know about poorness. As I said, this is one lesson. The lesson from Luke is one lesson about riches or wealth becoming a curse to a person. Another example of this, another such parable, is Jesus' experience. It wasn't a parable, but His experience with the rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10 is the place that you find this. The rich young ruler came to Jesus to talk about eternal life. And wealth, his wealth became for him a curse rather than a blessing. The other is the parable of the rich fool, Luke chapter 12. This man in Luke chapter 12 was a rich farmer. And he had one of those good years. They're few and far between, so it seems, for the farmers. If something don't get you this year, something else will. And if it doesn't get you this year, it will the next. It can be boll weevils. It can be grasshoppers. It can be drought. It can be storms. It can be a number of things. According to what you're raising, it can be cornworms. It can be hail to come and ruin a tomato crop or a tobacco crop or a cabbage crop or what have you. But this man had a good year. A real good year. He made so much, he didn't have any place to store what he had. So he decides, what a great future I've got ahead of me. What a great life I've got ahead of me. I'm going to retire. This was such a good crop, I don't even want to try it again, because he probably knew that he could have a good crop one year and lose it all the next year. So he decided to save all that he had, be very prudent. And he tore down his barns and he built bigger barns and he stored things away and he went into his house and he leaned back in his recliner, the lazy boy. And he was sitting by the fire and he was watching television. That could have happened way back then, couldn't it? And he breathed a great breath and he says, "Oh, I'm so successful, I'm so blessed, I'm so rich. I'm just going to take life easy from here on out. I'm going to eat everything I want to eat. I want to drink everything I want to drink. I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to have a happy time." But his wealth became a curse because that night his life was taken from him. It wasn't as great as he thought it was going to be. He wanted to take life easy, but that was not God's plan for him. Wealth, though, was not the problem. Wealth was not the problem. Money was not the problem. A good crop was not the problem. The problem was how this man was dealing with his wealth. The story in today's lesson, wealth was not the problem. The problem was how he used or failed to use his wealth. His refusal to use his wealth as God intended him to use his material blessings, if you will. And he failed to do that. He failed to use them. He failed to be concerned about other people. That was his problem. It was the man who was the problem, not the wealth. The lesson in at least two of these, we see wealth should be used to help the less fortunate or the poor. The rich young ruler, "Sell what you have," Jesus says, "and give to the poor." Also, the rich man in today's lesson, he failed to give a poor beggar even the crumbs from his table. I'm sure he said, "Why, he don't need these crumbs. He ought to be out working." Well, the indication is that he might have been too diseased to work. We don't know what the problem was, but he was covered with sores. He couldn't even go to the doctor. So the lesson in at least two of these is that wealth should be used to help the poor, to share what we have. In this passage from Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul is instructing the young minister. The young minister being Timothy. The Apostle Paul is instructing the young minister concerning wealth. How he would deal with his own wealth, I'm sure, but how he would teach other people to deal with their wealth. See, Timothy had been at a church, or was at a church, and Paul gave him instructions concerning the operation of the church. Were there some wealthy people in the church? Probably so. Paul usually wrote concerning the immediate situation or the immediate needs of that congregation or that people that he was writing to are writing about. So he is instructing Timothy in what he should teach and how he should act himself concerning the proper place of money and goods, produce, products in our life. And he says, the love of money. Now, this passage has been misquoted and misquoted and misquoted. People often say the love, they don't say the love of money. They often say money is the root of all evil or much evil. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Paul is teaching, that money is evil. Money within itself is good. It's not money that's the problem. It's not wealth that's the problem. It's the love of money that leads to so much evil. And one version says, this version says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It didn't say the only root, but a root. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Or the love of money is evil. Often it's misquoted, and we think money is evil or dirty or bad. It's not so. But the way we use it and the way we love it. Reading these two passages a number of times, I felt compelled, and I felt moved or directed. I'll use the word compelled. Reading through these passages, both of them, a number of times, and thinking about preaching on them, I felt compelled to do a little bit different in the way I normally preach. Maybe I've done it that way before and just didn't remember. I'm not sure about that. But I felt compelled to emphasize what was said in these two passages concerning life, really, how we should live our lives, or point up the subjects that are mentioned in regard to these subjects. Now, the general overall subject is wealth, or dealing with wealth. We saw that. But we might say there are some sub-subjects in here, or some particular lessons that we can learn. So, being compelled, I started with Luke, and just wanted to go through these two passages and point out that there's also a lesson here about poverty. And poorness or poverty doesn't mean that we're bad. God loves the poverty-stricken people also. And here, the poverty-stricken person received a great reward, did he not? He received entrance into heaven. He was, Abraham's bosom is synonymous with heaven. That's what we're talking about. So there's this lesson about poverty. Lazarus being a person of poverty. But concerning poverty, people with wealth, we can learn here how we relate to poverty. We help people who are in poverty. We help them when they're in poverty. Lazarus is in poverty. The man failed to help him. God wasn't too pleased with that. So where did he end up? It is indicated that we should use our wealth to help those in poverty. And that's what we do when we send people and finances to Haiti. That's what we do when we send help to places like Pensacola. But that's what we do when we send help to organizations like GraceWorks. And that's what we do when people come by, and a couple of weeks ago, even a man that I know is working the system, as we say. But he came by and said, we're hungry. My family is hungry. And he had this long line. I had dealt with him before. I even tried to get him arrested one time because I got so mad at him for trying to rip off the public. And Larry wasn't in that day, and Larry's workers, they said, we can't do anything, and he's not doing anything illegal. Well, he was doing something bad. But when he came back by, I knew the man, But I still, he was hungry, and we had a little money. At least we had an account at the grocery store. So I wrote the grocery store a note, and I sent him down there to get it. Now, another person called this week to pay a water bill, and I refused to pay it. I just sent them somewhere else. But I did send them to Grace Works, and I think Grace Works paid them, and guess what? We'll send some more money to Grace Works to help them. So if we have wealth, we don't know why the poor man was poor. The sick man, the sore-covered man was in his poverty. That's not the question. We need to help them. So as long as I have the privilege or the responsibility to give out funds, I assume that that's my responsibility and the opportunity. They come by if they're hungry. If they are working the system, I'll give them a meal or two. Okay, so I'm trying to keep from ending up going the wrong way, folks. I don't want to do that. Misuse my wealth and yours too. So there's a message about poverty. There's a message about the haves helping the have-nots. There's also a message about the hereafter here. There's a message about the hereafter in this passage. Life after this life. Life after the life that we're in now. You know, many of us are living like this is the only life that there is. And we're laying up treasures here on earth. And you can watch the television program from Pensacola to anywhere in Florida. And another one came through this morning to see how important big houses, etc., etc., are. A moth and rust doth come in and corrupt. Our hurricanes come and blow them away when we lay up our treasures here on this earth. There's a lesson about a hereafter warning us that there is a hereafter. We need to use this life in preparation for life after this life. This life is the time to make arrangements for the next life, and I believe that is contained in there. There's a lesson in our scripture of those of there being two places that people can go in this life. And a great gulf or chasm separates the two. There's two places that we can spend eternity. One in the bosom of Abraham that represents heaven, or one in the fiery pits of hell. And I remember one person. They were in church the first service, so I used the illustration at the second service, and maybe you won't figure out who it was. I remember when they first came to the church, the woman had been scared out of hell, or she had had she had had the hell scared out of her as a child. And she said, "Brother Larry says, I don't want my child to be beat over the head every week with a lesson about the fiery pits of hell, or fire and brimstone." And so I said, "Well, that's seldom what I preach. And you've been here a long time. You haven't heard much fire and brimstone." But after the service today, I said to that person, after the first service, I said, "Now, part of the scripture, that sometimes you need to speak on this, and it's so plain in there." And she says, "Since I got teenagers, I'm thinking it needs to be preached more." And I thought I had to pass that one on to you, this group, this morning. Since she's got teenagers, that hot fire and brimstone is not so tough. And all of you who have raised teenagers are about to. You understand what she's saying. Anyway, she said, but she did remember it was a fearful time for her to be in church as a child. And we talked about this, and that wasn't the main subject of my preaching every Sunday. But I did remember that, mentioned it to her this morning, and we went from there. Okay, there is the lesson of two places that we can spend eternity. We can spend it in heaven with God, or we can spend it with the devil in torment. Separation from God, agony, torment, fire. The uncaring person went there after his death. And I think that lesson needs to be pointed out. I don't think we need to dwell on it every Sunday. I don't intend to. I haven't for 37 years and don't intend to. But we need to point it out that there is a glorious place to go, and then there is a tormenting place to go after this life. Then we see the importance of listening to the prophets and following the advice of Moses, the Ten Commandments and other law. He said, the man that went to Hades or went to hell, whatever word you want to use, he wanted somebody to come back and warn his brothers. And Abraham said, but they got the law of the prophets. He said, yes, but let somebody go back from the dead. And Abraham said, that won't help. That won't help. If they can't take the law and the prophets, that is sufficient to warn them of the life to come and the two opportunities, the choices that we can make concerning the life to come. So, he said the law and the prophets are enough. Now, we have one who has come back from the dead. We are really blessed. Jesus came back from the dead. He showed us that he could overcome sin and death. And he still deals with us each day. And so that lesson is there. And we have in this passage also certain words, and you can see them listed there, and I'm not sure just what verse they're in. Verse 11, Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11. We find the word godliness, and we find the word contentment, and we find that people are urged to combine godliness with contentment. There's a warning of the danger facing those who want to get rich in verse 9 and 10. And then Paul urges Timothy to flee from seeking after riches himself and pursue righteousness. And then there is the encouragement to live a godly life. Be a godly person. Godliness. And then be a person of faith. A faithful person and a person who continually trusts in the guidance and the leadership of God the Father and Christ the Son. And then there is the lesson in this passage about love. God is love. And if we follow God and if God lives in us, we will be people of love. There's a lesson in this lesson, there's a message in this lesson about endurance, or keeping the faith, or holding on. Don't give up when times are rough. I guess from that learning song that we learned this morning, number 464 says one of the phrases in there, the singer is saying to God, forever I will stand by your side. So there's a message about enduring, even enduring hardship, and sticking to the faith that we have placed in God the Father and Jesus the Son. And then there is a message about gentleness. We are called to be gentle people. Now, also, we talked about life after this life already, but we found specifically a call to hold on to eternal life. Hold on to eternal life. Timothy was a Christian. He had claimed the eternal life that was available to him through Jesus Christ. His mother had taught him. His grandmother had taught him. You read that in the second letter to Timothy. Paul mentions and calls him by name, Lois and Eunice. And now he is saying to Timothy, hold on to the eternal life that you claimed through your faith in Jesus Christ. And there is a word about Jesus returning to earth. The appearing of Christ. The appearing of Christ. Verse 14. You can read verse 14 and find the word there about Jesus returning to Christ. There are more instructions to the rich. Instructions not to be arrogant. Not to put hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. It can be blown away in a hurricane and so quick. But the encouragement to put our hope in God, that He is the real provider. There's the encouragement to do good. Be rich in good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. Now the little handout sheet I gave out, it was kind of a bare bones outline if you got one. I didn't even put numbers on the lessons in these passages, because I'm sure that you can find lessons there that I didn't find or didn't have time to mention. with these thoughts, let us go to God in prayer. Lord, we read about eternal life. We read about the important, the really important aspects of life. And we understand from your word, Lord, that we have an eternity that we need to prepare for here. And Lord, we come this morning thanking you that Jesus has provided a way for us to just be ushered right into your near presence after this life, what we call heaven. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we know it's through your marvelous grace that we have this opportunity. So we come today just thanking you and praising you. But we come offering ourselves anew to you, O Lord, asking you to direct our lives, our actions, and our thinking. Help us, Lord, to use our wealth for your honor and for your glory, as you would have us to use it. Help us to seek out how that we might use it to bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, knowing that faith in Jesus is our entrance into your eternity, eternity with you. We pray that if there's one here that needs to place their faith in Jesus this morning, give them the courage, the inspiration to do just that. In His holy name we pray. Amen. Turn in your hymnal to 202 if you will. We sing about the amazing grace of Jesus. And we'll stand together and we'll sing. And if you have a public response to make this morning concerning your life and preparing for that eternal life, the altar awaits you and I'll meet you there and we'll pray about it. As we sing, you are invited to come. Number 202, the first two verses of Amazing Grace.
Thank you. I'm like, when I think it's a